بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the book of fasting from Bulugh al-Maram, and in this discussion we will cover the last three narrations under the book of fasting. There will be the book of i'tikaf, the book of i'tikaf, that inshallah ta'ala will leave it for some other time. Now we go to hadith 565. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر ما كان يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد، وكان يقول إنهما يوما عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم. أخرجه النسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة وهذا لفظه. حديث أبو سلمة رضي الله عنها that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast mostly on Saturday and Sunday, and he used to say they are festival days for the polytheists and I want to act contrary to them. I want to act contrary to them, meaning oppose them. نعم. That these 2 days, the Saturday and the Sunday, are days for the Jews and the Christians. The Jews, their Eid is Saturday, and the Eid of the Christians is Sunday. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to act contrary to them and oppose them. And what type of opposition is this? That is because the days of Eid, as it is the habit, are days of enjoyment and happiness and so forth. And it is not fitting to fast these days, as we learned earlier. So if those people, they don't fast these days, meaning the Jews and the Christians, then we fast them and we oppose them in their festivals and in their magnification of these 2 days, the Saturday and the Sunday. Is that clear? Is that clear, the reason now? Okay, how about the rest? MashaAllah. Okay. طيب الحمد لله. جيد. In this hadith there is evidence, we take from this hadith another point of evidence, that the hadith of As-Samma concerning the fasting of Saturday رضي الله عنها, if it is authentic, okay, then it is to be understood, what? Understood as being, as singling out Saturday. As singling out Saturday. But if Saturday is joined to Sunday, then there is no harm. We take it from this hadith, right? And if Saturday is joined to a day before, and that is Jumu'ah, Friday, then there is no harm. And this stands to support the opinion that what is intended by the prohibition of fasting Saturday is the singling out of Saturday. Is that clear? Is that clear? There is, in this hadith we are discussing, there is evidence for this, supporting it. Because the Prophet ﷺ, most of the days he fasted was Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday. From the benefits of this hadith, yes. From the benefits of the hadith is the keenness of the Prophet ﷺ to oppose the mushriks. And that's why he exerted the effort to fast in order to oppose them. And opposing the disbelievers, when it is in regard to legal matters, then it is an obligation under all circumstances and without details. And whoever agrees with them, with the disbelievers, then he is on a danger. and who accepts their festivals, then he is also on a grave danger. However, regarding regular or normal things, then opposing them, is no doubt better. And in this also the person stays away from allegiance to them. And the more the person is away from this and from the disbelievers' ways and habits, then this is closer or stronger in terms of his faith and iman. And that's why when Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, we are in a land of the people of the book, shall we eat, can we eat in their utensils? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, unless you don't find other than that, then wash it and eat in them. So he conditioned two things, that they don't find other than their utensils, so therefore the need arises or the necessity arises to eat in their utensils, and the second is to wash it. Now as to the first one, it is clear, we don't eat in their utensils, lest they have a favor on us, that they gave them to us and lent them to us, and so that we don't also make it a frequent habit to go and borrow their utensils and so forth. However, if they invite us, may the people of the book, to a walima or a feast, then we eat in their, use their utensils and eat from them. The second condition is the washing. It is said that they used to cook in it the flesh or the meat of the swine or the pig. And this is najis, impure. But in this reasoning, it's questionable, because the origin is purity. Until we know that such a utensil, that such particular utensil was used in cooking pig meat or swine meat. So what appears to be that the Prophet ﷺ ordered washing them in order so that we keep distant from them and their ways. So the important thing is to oppose the mushriks and the disbelievers. This is something requested, so that nothing settles in ourselves any kind of allegiance and love to them. And that's why the people of knowledge had mentioned, rahimahumullah, that resemblance in the outward leads to resemblance in the inward. The resemblance in the outward leads to the resemblance inwardly. Outward resemblance leads to inward resemblance. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ warned from resembling them in the hadith, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever assumes the manner of some people, he becomes from them. The second hadith, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صوم يوم عرفة بعرفة. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited fasting on the day of Arafah at Arafah. Reported by Al-Khamsa, the five, except at Tirmidhi, and Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim authenticated it, and استنكره العقيلي and العقيلي rejected it. So if the person is at Arafah, then he is prohibited to fast. The underlying cause and the wisdom from this is so that he maintains his activity, in order to conduct that which he came specifically for, and that is the dua, the invocation, and humbleness to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is known that if a person is fasting, then he is thirsty and hungry, and so this leads to laziness, especially if the day is long and if the heat is immense. So, and his laziness will be at the end of the day, which is better than the beginning of the day. And that's why he forbade fasting it, prohibited fasting it. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declared that he himself was not fasting in that day, when it was said that he was fasting, he in called for a dish containing laban, milk, and he drank from it, and people looking at him. Why? In order to verify that he was not fasting that day, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So from the benefits of this hadith is the prohibition, prohibiting fasting the day of Arafah at Arafah. And this is specific to the Hajj, to the person who is doing the pilgrimage. But if someone was staying at Arafah on the day of Arafah, staying with the pilgrims, like cooking for them, or driving a bus, or driving a car, or a vehicle, or the like, and he was not a pilgrim himself, then there is no prohibition for him, because he is a traveler. And the traveler, you know, has the option to fast or to break the fast. Now, also from this we learn that, you know, something which is lesser in merit, something may occur to a matter which is lesser in merit, which elevated to a position higher than the meritorious. For example, breaking the fast with respect to fasting is makruh. Why? Because fasting is from the sunan. But if the fasting leads to a defect in something sought legally, in something legally sought, then it is to be prohibited, because it will lead to a defect in something which is legally sought. What is legally sought here in Arafah is humbling oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayers, in dua, in invocations, and this is requested. And therefore, since this is requested, the person needs to be active and strong, right? You see that? Therefore, in this case, breaking the fast takes precedence, although the fasting is from the sunan. Is that clear? Now, then we go to the last hadith in this chapter, the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhuma. Next hadith, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صام من صام الأبد. متفق عليه. ولمسلم عن أبي قتادة بلفظ لا صام ولا أفطر. narrated عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما that Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who observes perpetual fasting has not fasted. Agreed upon hadith and the other narration by Muslim, the Abi Qatada. La sama wa la aftar. May he not fast or break his fast. May he not fast or break his fast. La sama wa la aftar. May he not fast Alright, I pressed the wrong button here. So here, the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he who observes perpetual fasting. Is there sound now? then has not fasted. And in also in the wording of Muslim from Abi Qatada, it is reported by Abu Qatada as, may he not fast or break his fast. May he not fast or break his fast. So he does not attain the reward of the fast, and he does not attain the comfort because of the fitr, of the breaking of the fast. So he will not attain this nor that. From the benefits of this hadith, the forbiddance to fast, a perpetual fasting. And the scholars, rahimahullah, differed as to the underlying cause. It is said, for example, they said because he will fast the days of Tashriq, the days of Tashriq, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and he will fast the days of the Eid. You see, and these two are forbidden to fast, right? And that also, if he breaks the fast on the two Eids and the days of Tashriq, then this means that he did not actually observe perpetual fasting. Why? Because he breaks 5 days, right? But so they carried this hadith to apply to these days that are forbidden to fast. But this is a weak saying, very weak, and it cannot be taken as the underlying cause. Why? Because fasting the prohibited days is forbidden, even if he doesn't fast the perpetual fasting. You understand? Fasting the prohibited days is forbidden, even if he doesn't fast the perpetual fasting. So what is the underlying cause? The underlying cause is that whoever fasts a perpetual fast less than these prohibited days, then he will not attain the reward. Why? Because under this situation, he's going to leave other things. This kind of fasting will make him leave things which have their own rights, like the right of the body, his body, the right of his family, the right of his guests, and any and other benefits. You understand? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhum, and may Allah be pleased with both of them, who intended to fast a perpetual fast, he said, meaning he didn't, he said, inna li rabbika alayka haqqa, your Lord has right upon you, because there are acts of worship which you will neglect if you carry this prolonged fasting. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminded him, وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, and yourself also has a right upon you, وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, and your family has right upon you, and also to your guests. فَأَعْتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ, then give each one his own right. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directed him to that. So if someone asked, how to lift such a prohibition? The lifting of such a prohibition is in the direction of the Prophet ﷺ to Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, is to fast a day and break a day, fast a day and break a day. And there is nothing better than this. There is nothing better than this, as the Prophet ﷺ directed him to. So from the benefits of this hadith, if a person makes a vow to fast and not to break the fast, okay, the perpetual fasting, this kind of vow is forbidden, muharram, and it is forbidden to fulfill, then he must break the fast. And if he breaks the fast, then he must expiate. Why? Because he missed what he made a vow for. And that's why the preponderating opinion, if someone makes a vow to commit a sin, then it is not permissible to fulfill the vow, and there is kafarat yameen, and an expiation for an oath is required. The second benefit, in this hadith there is an indication not to exceed, not to become excessive regarding worship and exerting on the self that which, something which it cannot tolerate or would make it very difficult on it. And this is clearly apparent, because the one who will have such kind of fast, then he will miss many other rites, will not fulfill them. Now if someone raises the point and says this hadith indicates that it is blameworthy to observe such fasting, perpetual fasting, so how can, what would be the answer, what would the answer be regarding the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, fasting 3 days from each month is like fasting the entire year. And in his saying, Man sama Ramadan, whoever fasts Ramadan, then follows it by fasting 6 days from Shawwal, as if fasted the entire entire year. The answer is that the Prophet ﷺ incited and encouraged to fast these days because in order to attain the reward of fasting an entire year. And there is a difference between the actual fasting, right, and the fasting in attaining the reward. Is that clear? The actual fasting is forbidden. The actual fasting is forbidden. However, the fasting which will take the ruling, the fasting which will take the ruling in terms of the reward, there is no problem with it. Why? Because if he fasts 3 days from each month or 6 days after Ramadan, then he will have time to conduct other acts of worship. He will have in each month 27 days, and if he fasts 6 days from Shawwal, he will have time for 24 days, and there is no harm upon him will be. No harm will be upon him. Is that clear, inshallah? And this, all praise is due to Allah, concludes the discussion on the book of fasting. From Bulugh al-Maram, there are still chapters on i'tikaf. Inshallah ta'ala we'll have time, some other time for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this effort and make it sincere for His face, make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Shaykh abundantly for his efforts in discussing the matters of Islam and in spreading the knowledge which is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the early Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for your respectful stay during this time. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.